as of now, I think that tonight is the last shiur on Shalom Bayis, and today's topic was governed by a lot of questions that Avrichim had asked me at the end of the last shiur. But it turns out, as I was thinking about the gamut of issues that were raised, we're really coming full circle. And that was our first shiur. We spoke about Hakaras Kvoda, recognizing her kavod. And I realized that the topic of tonight's shiur, Be'ez Hashem, is not Hakaras Kvoda, but Laharos Kvoda, showing her kavod. So all the things that we spoke about, communication, different types of communication, giving, intimacy, and then now tonight's topic is really the Chavos Shem, the Makav Patish. Is not Hakaras Kvoda, but is Laharos Kvoda, showing her kavod. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, in Perek Tezvav, Halacha Yutes, describes the chiyuv of a husband to be mechabed his wife in the following way. V'chein tzivu chachomim, shiye odom mechabed his ishto yoser migufo, v'o'ava kigufo. A man is mechuyav to honor his wife more than he honors his own guf, and to love her like his guf. Of course, the seifa of Va'ava Kegufo comes out from the idea of Vahafturecha Kamocha. I don't know if we mentioned in the past that Rav Israel Tauber has a beautiful mashal where Rav Tauber describes that a person on Sukkot is coming out of his house on Chalamoed Sukkot. He runs down the steps and remembers, oh, I forgot something. So what he forgot? He forgot his Luv and Esrik, so he runs up. So take the same, and he goes back to get his Luv and Esrik. Chalmoed Sukkot, New York City. Mamat Beit Shemesh. Take another fellow who wakes up in the morning, and his wife had asked him to take out the garbage. And again, he's running out to davening. Davening 7:30, 7:35, unfortunately. He's running out to davening, and then he's going down the steps, and he remembers, oi, I forgot my wife asked me to take out the garbage. So he says to himself, wait, it's not a big deal if I take it back in the afternoon. And at the end of the day, I asked her something last night. It took her a while to come through. So Rav Tauber says, Tipish in Avodas Hashem. Says, as the Rambam describes over here, Va'ava Kigufo, this is the ultimate kim of Ahavta Re'acha Kamocha, is with one's wife. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Chal Moed. Lulav and Esrig, what's Chawal? Lulav and Esrig and Chal Moed, unless he's Zocha to be in the old city, which is a Machloikis Rishainim, whether it has a Din Migdash or not. But the Pashtus, the Din of the, everywhere in the world, it's only a Zeicha and a Migdash, it's only a Mitzvah Durabbanan. But of course, everybody's going to run back for Lulav and Esrig, and how many of us, myself included, run back for the garbage? The answer is, of course, that we have, every once in a while, we have our religious priorities out of whack, aside from the fact that it could be even worse. We don't want to be that Nebuch that has to hold the Sefer Torah during Hashanah, right? The one guy who everybody knows that didn't have a Luv and Esther. That probably is the greatest kiyum of Hoshanah. Zok the Rambam, V'hava Kigufo, that's the result. The kiyum is V'hatarecha Kamocha, but there's a tznai beforehand. And the tznai beforehand is Mechabe des Ishto Yoser Migufo. So maybe we've mentioned in the past, I think, I didn't see anybody say it. By the way, I'm very disappointed. I pulled out the Frankel Rambam. There come out no entries on these two Rambams. I don't know what's going on, but we've got to fill up a little bit of space. There's everything on everything, but there's come out no entry on these Rambams. On the Chiyuv from Anthony Mechabed, Ishto Yoser Migufo, Avi Yoser Migufo, nothing. So maybe it's more important than saying Pshat in a difficult Rambam in the Chovah L'mazik. So here, the Rambam is telling us that a tznai, now it's very interesting, the Gemara in Yevamos has the inverted order. The Gemara in Yevamos doesn't say it this way. The Gemara in Yevamos says, to be ova kegufo mechabdo yosem igufo. But now we're saying, pshan the Rambam seems to be telling us the following, that the tznai in being able to be mekayim that vahavtorecha kamocha properly with one's wife, is to be mechabid her yoser migufo. Yoser migufo means, Vahaftarecha kamocha can't be more than yourself. But Yoser Migufo means more than one would be mechabed oneself. It's interesting to note that the Rambam then in Halacha Chof says, V'chein tzivu al isha tshetiyah mechabed ezbayla, b'yoser midai. So number one, Yesh L'dayek, that the Rambam in Halacha Chaf says, after the chiyuv of the husband to be mechabit his wife, says that the woman has to be mechabit her husband, but he doesn't describe also yoser migufa, but yoser midayek. A woman's also commanded more than normal. It's interesting, the Rambam didn't give us this hagdara, the same hagdara that you do for the Isha. So maybe we'll come back to both of those nekudos in a moment. In terms of the Yisoda being mechabed her more than his guf, to the point that she feels it, to the point that they can communicate to Ava Kigufo, as we've spoken about the past, that tachlis of Ava Kigufo we've already discussed in the past, I want to introduce a very important mashal that some of you might be familiar with that's very, very popular in literature today, pop literature. And that is, there's a very popular author called Malcolm Gladwell. Malcolm Gladwell is the author of The Tipping Point, The Outliers, and other very fascinating books. I'd like to talk about this this line, this expression, the tipping point. I know I'm a little rusty on my Gladwell. I think I'm doing a little bit more chazar, a little more chazar in Torah than in his stuff, but the Yisod is very, very important, and if I'm mixing up some details or I know I'm combining two books together, the Yisod, I think, is very, very important. Gladwell has a fascinating, fascinating observation, and that is, let me ask you, what do you think is the most important variable for a person? If you want to pick out of a lottery in Canada who is going to be the most successful hockey player, what's the most important factor? Let's say you pick out somebody's name, and his name is Guy Guy DeFleur, okay? So now, you want to know whether he's likely, just by randomly picking out his name, whether he's likely to be a great, great hockey player. Do you know which factor is the most important factor in determining? If you have no way of knowing anything else about this fellow, you know what the most important factor is? His birthday. His birthday is the most important factor in deciding whether he's going to become an NHL great player. Why? So Gladwell documented that the nafkamina is when a person starts junior hockey. When a person starts junior hockey, the older he is when he starts junior hockey, then the more likely he is to get more ice time, which is more likely that he's going to have more influence by the coaches, which is more likely that scouts are going to notice him. The most important thing is to be born in the month of January and February. That's the most important statistic in being a hockey player. In other words, between the age of 16 and 18, which is of course the time in which he cultivates his skills as a junior hockey player, what he needs is the appropriate ice time, and what he needs is appropriate hashpos from his coach. That's the most important point. That brings us to the yisod, that there is a certain tipping point to success. And this applies over and over and over again. He documents in many, many instances that if a person doesn't reach the tipping point, then they're not shyach to the ball game. There's no way that they're going to succeed. So the most important factor is this young kid getting the appropriate ice time. A Talmud came to me and he told me the following. This is someone who has lots and lots of potential, budding Talmud Chacham, young, happily married, has what they call in the yeshivas, they use the expression, a tachshit. A tachshit means he has all the milas, has everything that anybody could ever dream of. Baruch Hashem married a fine girl, and he told me that he has the following problem. He said one of the first nights, the Baal Midos, one of the first Thursday nights, I feel a little guilty sometimes that we're together on Thursday nights. But one of the first Thursday nights there together, his wife was making the kugel, and he saw that she was a little bit he felt a little bit pressured for Shabbos, and she went over to him and she asked him. He went over to her and asked her, "Can I help you with the kugel?" So she was very, very pleased with that, and he made the kugel, and the kugel tasted very good. The next week, she sort of insinuated, "Are you going to help me with the kugel again?" And a couple weeks later, he said to me, I'm concerned. You know, when I offered, I didn't realize that this would become every Thursday night, I'd be helping make the kugel. I saw that she was a little stressed. So I told him, the kugels are the tipping point, especially in the first couple of years of marriage. I told him, he's a big masnid, I told him every kugel down the line that you make is another 50 to 100 dafim. And Rabosa, I'm not exaggerating. For this person, every single kugel that he helps in the beginning, that he shows that he's mechab de yoser migufo, ultimately that investment, if you will, if you want to look at it in these crude terms, because once she feels comfortable that he's mechab de yoser migufo, so then in such a case, then their entire mitzius, their entire relationship is changed, and she no longer feels insecure about how much her husband is committed to her. And that is extremely, extremely, extremely important in terms of creating that foundation where the woman feels, and here's the critical part, with that we'll come back to Rambam. The last time I was mefakpeh with some things that Rabbi Arush writes, but there's one thing that Rabbi Arush gets, Lania's Daiti, he drives it home, which is absolutely beautiful, and that is the most critical part in the successful relationship. Outside of all the tanaim that we spoke about in communication and v'chule, the most important part is that she feels that she's in first place. Not only the hakaras kvoda, that he thinks that, but she feels constantly that she's in first place. The moment that she feels that she's in first place, then everything is smooth. Chassidish achronim say that that's the reason why the Rambam in Perek Tezvot has the order the way he did. And that is that once the husband, is mechabed his wife, yoser migufo, so then the next step is going to be only natural. It's part of her teva that she's going to be mechabed as bailo. You don't have to, the truth is from Lomdus, I'm not sure if it's the only way to read the Rambam, but I saw that there were Hasidish, there's nothing in the Frankel, I'm stuck. So the Chassidish Svarim, they say that that's the pshat in Halacha Chof, that the V'chein says that if the husband is mechabit his wife this way, then the wife will be mechabit. And notice, here, when it comes to a woman, it's so natural in her relationship to her husband, once she is in first place, it's Yosem Midai. The Ram doesn't even need to give a shir Yosem Migufo. For us selfish men, the Rambam needs to give the shir Yosem Migufo. But for the woman, it becomes absolutely natural. That's just going to be yosem midai, more than what's necessary. Anything that a husband would dream that his wife would be, that would be only absolutely natural. Unfortunately, this past week, a woman called my wife, and she was having real shalom bayis issues. And you know, the husband has not been treating her well. And she's not been treating him well. But you know what was her biggest hurt was that I don't feel that he is at all part of my life. He's not interested in my life. And that, to a woman, the moment that she no longer feels that she's in first place, it could be that she's a close second. Kisnu aleya. She feels that she was hated, Yaakov Avinu? No. That once she has that perception, so then it's a perception of mamish being hated. Rabbi Arush argues, and I think here he's also right, Rabbi Arush argues that almost all petty complaints, you know, it's common for men to complain that she's constantly kvetching, she's constantly complaining, she's complaining about petty things. Rabosai, those things are all a cover, and it's a cover for the woman crying out. She can't bring herself to say that he doesn't put me in first place, or she's not even aware of it. But all the petty complaints against her husband, 99% of them come back to that sense that she's not in first place. I want to bring another arayah in halacha. When it comes to the chiyuv of Simcha and Yomtev, which we've argued in past in Parsha Shiurim, that the Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem in many ways epitomizes the ultimate in Simcha and Avodas Hashem, He spoke about six dargas of simcha that are epitomized in the Snachma Fnei Hashem Elokechem. So there, the man's chiyuv of simcha exists on his own. It's independent of his spouse. What's a woman, according to most Rishonim? Isha Baila Masamcha. The core of a woman's simcha has to come from her husband. If it doesn't come from her husband, if she doesn't feel that sense of first place, then her essence is undermined in a way that a man does not have. Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal met someone who was coming back on Sukkot, and he was coming back with his Luv and Esrog. Luv and Esrog are very, very dangerous. So he's coming back with the Luv and Esrog, and he showed the Rav Zatzal his beautiful Esrog, and it was taka beautiful Esrog. Rav Shlomo Zalman asked him how much he paid for it. It was expensive. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, "And how much did your wife's dress cost?" Again, mitzvah derabbanan, isha baila masamcha. The isha baila masamcha is part of the definition. It becomes part of the definition of their whole bias. Mechabda yoser migufa. And if a person doesn't spend time really, really thinking about that, then of course it won't be mechabda yoser midai. But if a person does, the benefits are so great that ultimately the chalos that we've spoken about in the past of Shechina Shruya Beinayim. Tonight is not a long shiur. I just want to give a couple of examples of Sur Meira, of things that could undermine the Haros Kvoda. Two examples of Sur Meira and three examples of Asay Tov. And if there's anything else that the Avrichim want to shmooze on, please let me know. First of all, I don't talk a lot about this in public, but it's our last shiur in Shalom Bayis. So, and I don't want to be ma'arich, it's not, I don't have the kedusha to be able to be ma'arich on this inyan, but we have to be honest, we have to put all the cards on the table. In Chassidish Svarim, one of the things that undermines Shalom Bayis, and one of the things that undermines the propensity of being able for a wife to feel like she's in first place, is Shmiras Habris. And that is that ultimately, a man who doesn't have that sense of kedusha, a man who doesn't have that sense of giving to his wife, and a man who is lacking in his kedusha, so ultimately that on a alpi chasidus undermines that sense of her kavod. But even outside of that, even just in terms of the sense that the wife feels that her husband looks at her, her husband thinks that she's beautiful. That's something that's extremely important. So Shmiras Habris al pi Kabbalah could undermine that sense of oneness between the husband and wife. And number two is that in of itself, as a psychological factor, in of itself, it's the psychological factor, it shows that the person is self-absorbed, that the individual is not using his sexuality, which we've spoken about in the past, in terms of giving to others, but is using it in a selfish manner. Number two, I'm almost just as embarrassed to emphasize because of the nafkamina that I'm going to tell you in a moment. And that is, there's another halacha. And we spoke about the Teisha Midos last week. One of the Teisha Midos that the Gemara in Yevamos describes is that a man is not allowed to be thinking about another woman when he's intimate with his wife. That, Baruch Hashem, I don't think is normal or is shayach to any of us. However, there's something deeper that this halacha applies to that doesn't only reflect in terms of the crude part of that halacha, but it's much more subtle. And that is women are extremely, extremely intuitive. And the moment they feel that their husband is comparing them to somebody else, Rabbosai, that's the tolada, the teisha midos. The moment a woman feels that she's being compared, even to one's mother or one's sister, kal v'chomer to previous women that a man went out with, kal v'chomer ben benoshel kal v'chomer to somebody else's wife, so then in such a case, I'm not talking about in chas v'chalil in terms of her looks, etc., etc. I'm not talking about the first category of Shmiras Habris. I'm talking about even the qualities. Talking about the qualities that a man notices and says, wow, look at this quality that she has, so then a woman's intuition is so deep and is so great, she will automatically sense it. And if you don't believe that that could happen psychologically, definitely al pi chasidus and al pi kabbalah, that sensitivity is for sure there between the yud and the hey. And chas v'chalila, there could be a divide between the two. I say it's a painful nafkamina because before I came to Grus, I spoke once, this is one of the things that compelled me to come here and to talk about these in Yanim, was I once spoke to somebody, a fine, fine fellow, who told me that he got married, he came to Grus, and he found that he was comparing, not chas v'chalila looks or anything like that, but he was comparing his wife's qualities to other women, and he said, wow, look at the Mesiras Nefesh that she's doing, look at the chesed that she's doing. Rabosai, that's the tolada of the Teisha Midos. And that is that ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's destined us to marry our wives, we're supposed to marry them, our tafkid is to marry them with their strengths and their weaknesses. And it could very well be that there's a certain Rebbetzin out there that's a greater Balas Chesed than your Rebbetzin. Just stay there. This is not a competition. It's about each one of us, building a Bayis Neman B'Yisrael. It's not all about who. We always say it. We say it as Rabbeim to the Talmidim. We say to them that when it comes to Chavrusas, we say a Chavrusa is like a Shidduch. And we say it doesn't mean that this Chavrus, that you're worse or you're better. Chavrusa is a Shidduch. It's supposed to work. A Shidduch is a Shidduch. And therefore, it's supposed, the couple that are there together, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has destined us to build something very, very special together. That's number one. Number two is, comparing is usually faulty even on a practical level. 99% of the time is the person's comparing has got his information entirely off. For example, Avreich is leaving the Beis Medrash. His wife asks him to come home 9 o'clock. And he looks around and he sees there are 4 or 5 Avreichim who are staying. So he asks himself, their wives are mostly nefesh more for their learning. So that's usur. That was a mistake. You're not allowed to do that. It's not appropriate. You missed the point. That's not what... Okay, but we all make mistakes every once in a while. It happens to be that those 4 or 5 guys' wives, that told them, you've only got a year to learn and I want you next year to be making $70,000. Or she might be saying that I want... $70,000 today is not a lot of money. Sorry. So, we won't talk about what we make in Israel. Or she's saying, I want a 2-month vacation. V'chulei. Sometimes what looks like that she's such a tzaddikus, there are pushes and pulls in other directions that are not entirely obvious to the individual. But of course, that's an error in terms of uptouch. That's an error in terms of defining. But the error is really much deeper, and that's the error that stems from the Teisha Midos. Not to chas v'chalila compare between wives. And the moment that the wife senses that, even in the smallest, then that chas v'chalila creates the pirud between the yud and the hey. Okay, so but how do we go about doing this? So we said what we're supposed to strive not to do. But what's that say tov? How do we go about doing it? The Gemara in Yevamos on Samach Beis on the Beis tells an important klal, and this gets back to what we're supposed to communicate with our wives. The Gemara says that kol adam she'en lo isha, shori b'lo simcha b'lo bracha b'lo tova. Everybody has challenges with their spouses. Everybody has challenges with their spouses. However, at the end of the day, there's absolutely nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong for a man to say to his wife, not only is there nothing wrong, he should say it, that you are the source of joy in my life. And ultimately, to him, she is also, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. You're the prettiest woman. That's the way it's supposed to be. And if the person hasn't reached that madrega, I think that in such a case, it would still be totally, totally mutter. To put in other terms, the Gemara Yevamos and Samach Beis and Beis is telling us the following. To tell her exactly how special she is. Now, in the past, we didn't emphasize this point. We spoke about proactive communication, reactive communication, but now we're coming back to the basics. Now coming back to the Yisodos, and that is tell her. Rabbi Simon Shlita told me that when he was younger, he took a class in Brooklyn College for teaching.
I don't know if Rabbi Simon was a natural teacher, but he told me he took a course, and after he finished YU, he took a course on teaching. And the most important yisod that he learned, that he said is so important, is that you always have to tell them what you're doing. You always, in teaching, it's a yisod gadol, always to say what you're about to, what you're doing next, what you're doing. Kal v'chomer, when it comes to a wife, tell her. And that's what the Gemara in Yevamah says. To tell her that she is the source of simcha in one's life. Okay, that's basic. That's something that you all could have anticipated. Number two, and this is the yisod that's harder. And one of the avrichim asked me very, very well, but this is the yisod I think that many of us really need to work the most on. Although the truth is, the first one might be so easy to say, it's a lot harder to do. That's an avoda. It's an avoda to constantly be. You telling her. Number two is truly sharing in every single part of each other's lives. In other words, what's important to you, my dear wife, is by definition important to me. Now, for someone who's a newlywed, it's not too hard. Like one of the Avrechim pointed out, the first few months of marriage is very exciting. They've just gotten married. They have the excitement of the wedding video, the pictures, and v'chule, as I've always said over a few times, I remember vividly my first supper that I had with my wife after the Shev Brachos is a blur. Shev Brachos is a, I don't know why there's so many, but the Shev Brachos is a blur. But the first supper that we had just together, that supper I remember, I could tell you exactly every part of the meal. My last supper was last supper. My last supper I can't even reconstruct in my mind. There's something very, very exciting about, and we're Baruch Hashem happily married. There's something very, very exciting about the beginning of marriage. And not only is it exciting in terms of the excitement of the post-chasana and everything else that's a result of that, there's also an excitement because most of the time the woman has a little bit of time on her hands. She could decorate the house. She could continue going to school. And then, Be'ez Hashem, eventually they have a child. And all of a sudden, her life, the most important change in a woman's life is not when she gets married. The most important change in a woman's life is when they have a child. Mirz Hashem, maybe we'll start discussing chinuch. That's the most important change in her life. And then all of a sudden, all the exciting things that she has to talk about, the only exciting thing she has to talk about are doctor's appointments, about the new syllable that the baby managed to say, which you don't even believe that the baby even said it, and before long, the conversations have become extremely, extremely, for lack of a better term, boring and mundane. And the excitement that existed in her life she doesn't have, and to try to find real meaningful communication becomes extremely, extremely difficult. Now, Rabosai, what I could only say to be mechazek us is the obvious. And the obvious, we need to be mechazek. And that is, you think what we're doing is important. What we're doing is not important. The most important job in the world is to raise a Jewish child. That's the loftiest thing in the world. And the most critical part are the first few years of a child's upbringing. I am sitting and talking Yom HaValai. You don't know how much time. Talk about the tipping point. You don't know how much time I am, quote unquote, wasting talking to Talmidim instead of the fact that I could be learning who something happened in the first 3 or 4 years of their lives, and they're stuck in a certain tsar, in a certain pain that they can't get out of. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of hours that because the mother wasn't sensitive, the father wasn't sensitive, or God forbid, even worse, that forever the child is left with that pain. In contrast to the warmth and security that a mother gives to her child, that warmth and security is something that will build them for the rest of their lives. Those first few years are the most critical years. So what we're doing is nothing. All the Torah, everything that we're doing, all the money that we're making, everything that we're doing is absolutely nothing compared to raising another Jewish child. So that means that whether that child said the syllable or didn't say the syllable is absolutely critical. And whether to change from size 4 to size 5 diapers is absolutely critical as well. And how she's going to manage with the 3 other things that she needs to do to get to the doctor is extremely important. Now that's outside of the fact that she's the most important person in your life. That's almost, now it's even tangential. Just in terms of chalois, forget about who she is. Just about the chalois and what she's doing compared to what we're doing, it's nothing. And I wish I had a better solution, but that's the mystical solution. It's not about somehow trying to create some creative way of dramatically transforming the content of your conversation. No, that is the most important avoda. And that's the most important thing that's taking place. Now, for the tipping point, again, for her to feel that what she's doing, that she is first place, and what she's doing is first place, which is taka emes, that's what it is, then the tipping point here needs both quantity and quality. In other words, she needs to feel from you that you're willing to devote quantity time devoted to it, as well as quality time of yours as well. Both. If a person, what's an example of quantity? So let's start with quality. What's an example of quality? We've discussed in the past the husband that comes home and his wife begins to talk to him about those things which he perceives as boring, and he opens up a book, and at the same time he's reading while she's describing it, then that's the chisaron in quality. That she doesn't feel that what she's doing here is first place. And then the other thing is actually in quantity. Here it's not enough for the husband to really be focused, but there has to be a quantity of time where he really, really shows that this is very, very important to him. The Beis Halevi writes in his drushas, I think it's the last drusha in the Shalos of Tshuvas, the Beis Halevi, in back of the Tshuvas, there are some drushas of Beis Halevi, he asks that why is it that the Ibn Ezra actually rejects a sheet of the Gaonim that say that the Luchos Hashnios had greater Kedusha than the Luchos Harishonos. So he says, what? Ibn Ezra says, the first Luchos were written by Yad Hashem. The second Luchos were written by Moshe Rabbeinu. The first Luchos were given by Kolos Uvrakim. The second Luchos weren't given with the Hiskailus of Kabbalah HaTorah. Says the Beis Halevi, no. The greater Kedusha is the second Luchos. Why? Because the first Luchos is all the excitement, all the fanfare. The first couple of months, that's all the excitement of marriage. But the true Kedusha of marriage, the true Kedusha is not that the Haros Kvoda in the beginning. Haros Kvoda in the beginning is very, very easy. But Haros Kvoda, as things become more and more mundane, it's very paradoxical. One would have thought that the conversations between the husband and wife go from being more mundane to more elevated. But Rabosai, actually most of the time, Lufia Misparim, certainly in terms of what most of the time is being discussed, it could be that every once in a while we'll be able to have really serious and beautiful conversations. But most of the time, as the marriage gets deeper and deeper in, as more and more responsibilities appear, the conversations become more and more mundane. Says the Beis Halevi, sometimes the more mundane, which requires the more amelos, has a greater kedusha. And that is, it could very, very well be that talking about the size of diapers might have much, much more kedusha. I believe does have more, much more kedusha than the husband and wife that are learning b'chavusa in the beginning of their marriage. Even good things, even growing together a lot. At the same time, the kedusha is really, really found in the mundane. So that's something else. That's point number 2 in terms of the tipping point, where the wife really, really feels that she's in first place. Number 3 is a corollary to this idea. And that is not only in terms of the kids, but it's also in terms of around the house and housework. Discussed with Avrichim in the past that there's a tendency for a husband to feel at when there's tension, particularly, maybe that's why we're here Thursday nights. Thursday nights when one's wife is getting ready for Shabbos and so on. So what's our tendency to do? When things get hectic, what do? So we think we're Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. Let's clear out. Just stay out of her way. Wait till everything passes. At the end of the day, how much can I really help her? And then when everything passes, everything's going to be okay. So Rabos, I understand the Yetzirah. We all have that Yetzirah. But that's not really the way to show our Kars Kvodah, because ultimately what we're not, Laharos Kvodah, ultimately what we're doing is not just trying to stay out of confrontation. We're trying to show that what she does is really, really important to us. What she's doing, even on Thursday nights, is really, really first place. So what's the Yetzirah? If we're not clearing out, but at the same time, what are we going to do? We're going to offer to her to cook, but we don't cook. Or, let's go further, let me tell you a secret, maybe we don't want to know how to cook. And okay, maybe we're not trying to transform ourselves overnight. We're also humans. We're not going to become malachim overnight. But someone who thinks that he can, so what are we supposed to do? There's actually something mind-boggling that Lania Zaiti works for many couples. Let the Avrichim try it out and tell me if this is something that really is effective. And that is, the husband could come home and say to his wife, I want you to know, I know that Thursday nights are hard for you. I know that Matzah Shabbat is hard for you. I know Tuesday night, because you have late class, is hard for you. And I just want to be there to help you. I want to be there to help. And you should know that I'm going to be home, and I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be sitting over here. If there's anything you need, even the smallest thing, I'm here, call me. I'm not sure what you want me to help with, but I'm here. Let me know when you need your help. So what are you saying? You're saying that all of your chaburas and all of your graduate work and all of your money making, you're saying all of those things take second place to her needs. And then, of course, then you have to be mekayin it. And that is, the worst is when the husband says that and then the wife calls him and then it takes him 5 minutes to come. Better not to have said it at all. But the husband that says it, so then in such a case, then he's showing that what she's going through is the first place. And again, this is the Kugel trick. And that is, at the end of the day, you'll probably end up being able to learn, being able to do your graduate work, being able to make a lot more money during that period of time, because she'll probably just call you 5, 10, 15 minutes at a time that you're sitting there. But she knows that she's in first place. And the husband that doesn't, he's going to end up having to do half hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours of damage control and listening to all petty complaining, all because she didn't feel that she was in first place. Because that's the assault. That's the assault. Number three. This is actually, it's partly also in the Sur Meirah category. And that is to, Da'asei Tov, is to make sure that there's nothing that one does except for honor her essence. There are two parts to every person. There's their pu'ulos, their actions, and then there's their essence. We spoke about the fact that the husband and wife are really two halves of one neshama. Any criticism of her essence, by definition, is going to bring apart the yud and the hey. And here we get to the subject of in-laws. We've spoken about constructive criticism. Relationship with in-laws is not easy. I don't claim to have the formula or the solution. But there's one never. And that is, one never criticizes, even if it's absolutely valid, one never criticizes one's in-laws to one's wife. Because what one is doing implicitly is saying that there's something in her that has a deep fault. That's her makar. It's fascinating. She might know it up over here. She might know about all those chesronos, and many husbands make that mistake, that his wife herself said it only a day ago. She's allowed to say it, but you're not allowed to say it. The same thing. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, sometimes, where are they from? Venus? Sometimes their things don't make sense. In a chanani, it doesn't make sense. It's not logical to say there. But she feels that's something that undermines her essence. If you have to say the criticism of both sides, turn on the shower and then say whatever you want. Go into the shower and say whatever you want. But not to her. Not to her. Last Nakuda. Last Nakuda, in terms of Laharos Kvoda, is when she feels that she's in first place. Also, when the husband's priorities are somewhere else. Every single one of us there are times that our priorities at first glance aren't our wives. And the moment that a woman feels that the priorities have become dominated by something else, so then her mechabla yosem yigufo is entirely undermined. She no longer feels that she's more important than his guf. We mentioned last week, the Gemara in Ksubis that says that a woman would prefer much less money than she and more time with her husband, and that means that there's no excuse, there is no accepted rationalization to a woman that her husband says, I'm out making money for you and for the children. There's no accepted excuse for a woman for the husband to say that I'm out learning Torah for you and my children. Ultimately, she has to feel that she's in first place. There is a story that I heard of a Talmud Chacham that is unique, and I say it almost for entertainment value. I don't advocate this at all. There's supposedly a Talmud Chacham that many of you are familiar with, who on his date with his wife said to her, one of the first things he said to her was, I want you to know that you'll never be my first love. Torah will be my first love, you'll be my second love. That's the legend. He's not connected to Yeshiva University anymore. He said, you will always be my second love. Torah will be my first love. I find it hard to believe that's true, and that he's happily married. It could be that there is a woman out there who's an exception to that rule. But that whole idea that there's something else that comes first, even Torah, undermines the essence of who she is. So now let's come back. There's a balance. A person has spends most of his time in the base measure. Person spends most of his time in the workplace. So how does the husband deal with the fact that it's almost as if that he's showing her that there's something else that comes in first place? So here again, it's the small things. It's the small kugel that makes all the difference of the world. If a husband takes time out, and it's so easy for us to say, it really, really is easy to do, but so many of us don't do it. And that is, if we take time out, just to quote Stevie Wonder, just the call to say that you love her, that's amazing. That takes 3 minutes. And if she wants to talk about something, it's okay. If you call to say that you love her, it takes 3 minutes. And if she wants to talk about something that's 15 minutes long, she'll be fine if you say, could we talk about it tonight, unless it's an emergency. And then it's okay. So everything else is less important. One's shalom bayis is the key to one's dveikus l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's more important than the taisis. It's more important than the taisis. So that means that the husband has to go out of his way in his routine of the day to show her that she's something that's really, really meaningful. Also, there's another yisod which I think is very, very helpful, and that is not to create the dichotomy. There's nothing more sinister, and I think all of us intune this in our gut, there's nothing more sinister than the men who lead two lives, where they have one life, which is their work life, and then there's another domestic life. And in the sinister world, there are people out there, particularly in the mafia, the chule, that have two lives. They have their wife and their children and so on, and then they have a separate life with the mistress and so on. Lahavdil al-falfei avdolo, sometimes we ourselves are guilty of that as well. And that is, we don't do enough to bridge together those two things. For example, there's nothing wrong if your wife is not interested in the contents of your chavura. You could tell her the interesting things that happened in the Chavura, something interesting that happened in Rav Miller or Ben Narshir, something interesting that Rabbi Rekefet said, to share those other parts in one's life that bridge the two. The moment one does that, then one is saying that you're so much in first place that I want to share everything with you, particularly the thing that sometimes seems to compete with that for the first place. So therefore, I strongly advocate, even when it comes to the workplace, to bring one's wife to the workplace every once in a while, to bring one's children to the workplace. That's a way in which there isn't that sense of competition between the two, but lehefach, one's working to join the two. Klug with a Chassidus Shemaisa. They say that there was once a miser who
ran to a Rebbe and complained to the Rebbe that my wife is absolutely makes my life miserable, and I just can't stand being with her. So Rebbe said, I need time to think about it. He told her all the terrible things that she did. And the Rebbe did some research, and it turned out that he wasn't such a good husband as it was as well. So there was real shalom by his problems. So Rebbe said to her, said to him, came, he called him back, and he said to him, I have the following idea. This fellow was must have been a pretty awful person, because he said to him, I'll tell you, there's a Gemara that says that if someone makes a neder and doesn't fulfill it, he's punished, but he has to bury his wife. You want to get rid of your wife, what I suggest is you make a neder, and then don't fulfill the neder, and then your wife will eventually pass away. So he says to the, okay, I'm ready. The, if only raising money would be this easy. So the Rebbe said to him, fine, you'll make a neder that you're going to build a beautiful, beautiful mikveh, and you don't keep the neder, then your wife will die, and everything will be shalom al Yisrael. So the fellow makes a neder, and says that he's going in front of three, he makes a neder that he's going to build this beautiful mikveh, and when he made the neder, he had yesh vodun, in terms of his kavana, but his sense was that he wasn't going to fulfill the neder. So after he made the neder, he went home, and the Rebbe called him back after a week or so, and he said, has your wife died? He said, no. So he said, the Rebbe said, well, in general, it takes this amount of time to build a mikveh, so you're going to have to wait a little bit of a while. But he said, you know what? Your wife, he said, is as good as dead, because she's going to die. So he said, I just give you the following suggestion, and that is, you know what? It's not good for the Levaya if everybody knows that you're fighting until the end. It's not a good idea. And anyhow, it might as well make things a little bit better. So you know what? Treat her well for the next year or so. If you treat, and then by the time this way everybody sees that you have a beautiful marriage, especially when your wife is dying, that you treat her so well. And so that, and then afterwards, after she dies, then the whole ASIC will be better. Of course, after a year's worth of time, the fellow comes running back to the Rebbe, and he says, she's beautiful. Mechabda yosem igufa. Says, what am I supposed to do? So the Rebbe said, pay up. Told the mikveh. So they lived happily ever after. There was a new mikveh that was built in town. So Be'ezer Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should give us the siyata d'shmaya, that we should be zochet to be mechabda yosem igufa, and with that will increase kedusha and tahara in Klal Yisrael. So Be'ezer Hashem, next we want to start with chinuch. Is that the game plan? We want to take a break. We also have to figure out the time.